ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Yeltsin Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
Greetings. Do you know why tonight is a glorious night?
Because it's the first hangout in 2020.
And we're back on Thursday schedule, perhaps.
Indeed.
In between what started with the Thanksgiving crazies, and then just get holiday stuff.
Indeed.
Things, and who knows what's going on with people's lives.
Who knows?
But now it's Thursday, and yeah, we're back.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I, of course, am your host, Charlie, and I'm joined once again by the prolific Connor himself, Azelius.
Word up.
So, hello, everyone. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I've missed you, intertubes.
I missed all you interwebbers, but that's okay. We are back. So, let's start this off right. Happy 2020. Happy New Year. Whatever you celebrate, happy holidays, or hope you had a safe holidays. I don't know. Hopefully,
1-2-2020.
Hopefully you got what you wanted for your holiday celebration.
And if you didn't, then hopefully you bought it for yourself.
Yes. That's the fun part of being a grown-up, is that if someone doesn't get it for you, there is a small chance you can get it for yourself.
Or you realize you're wallowing in a self-pit of money loans and crushing debt from that esteemed education and car loan and house loan and medical insurance and everything else necessitated to live the American dream, and then you just cry instead.
You just buy yourself a beer.
Okay, I could buy myself a beer instead of a brand new 80,000 inch TV.
Who the hell has an 80,000 inch TV?
An astronaut.
Sweet.
Because that's how they watch the Earth.
I did not know that. The more you know. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let's jump into a couple of things that have happened since last we were speaking. Wow, that made no sense whatsoever.
There was a new decade.
There was a new decade. Okay, let's go over the easy one first, and that is that there are people out there that are shocked that there is a record number of Disney Plus subscribers who are canceling their subscription.
When The Mandalorian's over, I'm assuming.
Exactly. As soon as The Mandalorian ended, a bunch of subscriptions, I mean, like a ton of subscriptions went.
Well, at the end of the NFL playoff season, guess what I'm probably canceling?
Cable?
Yep. I mean, that's how people do things, is it's, you know.
There's no long-term commitments anymore.
Yeah, well, because you went from the day of cable where you had no choice, right? I mean, if you tried breaking your cable commitment, it was like signing away your third-born child.
There was also nothing called on-demand.
Sure. Whereas now, you know, you can cancel Disney Plus, go back to Netflix, or go onto Hulu, or go onto Amazon, whatever service behooves you, and you can binge-watch to your delight. Now, my strategy is with Disney Plus, granted, I don't have kids, so it helps, is I'm waiting like 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
Because then, after then, they'll have a couple seasons of The Mandalorian and all, you know, they're doing all of the Marvel shows like The Scarlet Witch Show and all those.
Hawkeye.
So I'm going to wait till they have a couple seasons of those and then binge the hell out of some Disney Plus is my plan.
Interesting.
Now, I may probably, in all likelihood, break before that. But as long as also the current services I currently subscribe to continue to put out content, it makes a difference too.
Yes. Well, I personally have not fallen into that trap just yet. However, I will thoroughly admit that the pressure has started to be applied because of the kids and the fact that if you want to watch Disney movies, you need Disney Plus. If you don't own the Blu-ray, which I'm one of those old people who actually still buy the damn Blu-ray, because guess what? There are times where you don't have the internet, and when you don't have the internet, you can't watch shit.
Now, what about the dish that, like, have to phone home to the motherload to be like, is this a DRM authenticated disc?
Yeah, I don't have any of those.
I imagine they exist somewhere, though.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, early on, like, the ones with, like, Blu-ray Live? There were some that, like, You had to beam to the mothership to like get like the latest
firmware, the latest patch for your movie.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And also the latest trailers, which I have noticed. I don't know if anyone out there has noticed, but if you have Blu-rays now, they're getting tricky. They're stopping a lot of the Blu-rays have stopped the ability to jump past the to quickly jump past all the the previews.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Now, of course, the way around is you just go next scene, next scene, next scene until you hit the movie menu. But you can no longer hit like top menu or whatever main menu. You can't do that. It just says, you know, gives you that fun little circle with the line through it.
Nope, I'm just purely subscription. I'm just streaming all the time. That's my life.
I am not, but it's getting closer and closer. I've got YouTube TV. Of course, PlayStation View is now dead.
Nice. Well, one of my problems is, so I've thought about upgrading my TV. I have had a 10-year-old TV. I mean, it still works fine. And I've thought about it, but my one conundrum of like, almost what's the point? Because I'm streaming basically everything from Netflix and Amazon Prime, where even if it's 4K HD, it's still highly compressed. We are not getting that true 4K TV anyways. It's not like Blu-rays, basically. Like, that's where really the new TVs, that's where you really get that magnificent gloriness. Magnificent gloriousness, yes, is the Blu-rays, which I'm never going to do Blu-ray. I'm just not. And so for me, it's like, really, if I'm just streaming, does it even make sense?
Nothing makes sense if you're just streaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of... The only reason it does make sense is to get a bigger TV. Show my
so now you could see the super duper pixelated version when your internet craps out.
Well, I just don't let my internet crap out. I behold it to my will and make it chug along in the tubes.
No, I'm. This is
it, yes, that is it. That is definitely. I'm actually pretty I'm pretty lucky with my internet, where I actually have pretty good throughput at pretty much all times.
So funny thing though. And I actually, I was keeping my ears to the ground, as it were, during bowl season. You know, it's still going on, by the way. There's still a bunch of college bowls
out
there.
Nobody cares about them anymore, except for Mondays.
But anyways, what was interesting was, for some reason, something was going on with one of the ESPN channels. And it didn't matter if you had perfect, you know, connection speed, all that shit. It was still blocky and kind of blah as hell.
There was just something coming out of their own knock center. And yeah, that was, so I used to use WWE Network. I actually haven't watched wrestling in ages now, but at the first I did. And I remember the first couple pay-per-views were just terrible because they, as with a lot of new services, they extremely underestimate the demand, or they just didn't scale it well enough. And like, the first pay-per-view was painful because it just kept on chopping out.
No, but yeah, so like a bunch of like the games was just like, it looked choppy, like you got a bad internet connection, but literally you could change to like a different ESPN or CBS or Fox, whatever else has that. It's like perfect clarity.
Interesting.
So it's just ESPN. That being said, though, I did also learn one thing, and that is that the Chromecast I have downstairs in the basement is like a first generation, and it... And YouTube TV freaks the fuck out every single time. It's like, oh, this is a first generation. You're going to see issues while we stream through this.
Huh. Interesting. I mean, that's got to be, what, 6-7 years old?
Probably.
I mean, Chromecast, the first generation, came out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
What are the actual hardwares that Google has not dropped yet?
Yeah. Well, I've got my my Nexus tablet.
Wow. Actually, I have a Nexus tablet. No, I still have my Nexus phone, but it's that stupid crappy micro USB, and it doesn't work because of the USB.
Oh, well, my tablet still works.
Do you actually use it for anything?
Heck yeah. It's my graphic novel reader.
Ah, very nice.
That's indeed. Smart. Indubitably. So anyways, so that happened.
There was another exciting streaming show that came out too, along with The Mandalorian.
The Witcher!
Which have you seen it yet?
No, I have not. But the funny thing is, like, before, you know how when it comes to video games, when it comes to TV shows, movies, the critics who get to see it early, they've got like a what do you call it? They have an embargo.
Oh yeah.
They have to sign, so they can't say anything until, you know, within 48 hours of the release or something like that. And the weird thing was, there were so many critics out there who just like, The Witcher's terrible. Oh my God, you shouldn't watch it. And then it gets released into the masses. And now on like Rotten Tomatoes, it's got an average score of like 89.
Oh, it's very high among the... Like, as a TV watcher, it's extremely entertaining. Probably, slight spoiler, the one thing that they do So probably what people are confused about is if you have no familiarity with the show in the characters, it could be extremely confusing. So my guy, that would be part of my assumption is, and even to me, somebody who has knows kind of the characters, what's going on, there was some stuff you're like, what's going on? So there was some weird stuff that they did with the settings where you could definitely be confused.
Well, I ironically, a lot of the, because I read some of like, you know, the, I read some of the reviews from the early on critics. Some people are like really nitpicking on some random stuff. Like, you know, his hair looks like a wig. It's just like a bad wig. It you know, costuming is just terrible in this thing. And then the kind of like color that they're using is just too blah. And I'm just like, but what about the story?
Now, the universal praise is Henry Cavill, who, you know, he kind of pooted in Superman. Now, we have to do a Superman, but still.
It was a DC movie. I mean, you were screwed as soon as you got casted.
The thing is, I've been a big fan of Henry Cavill ever since he was in The Tudors. So he was originally in The Tudors, and he was Henry VIII's like BFF in the show. And I've ever since he was in there, I'm like, dude, this guy's awesome. Mm-hmm. So I knew he had acting chops. Is this DC movies are terrible, except mm-hmm. for one. And so,
well, just the Nolan, Christopher Nolan, ooh, Batman.
That's a good point too. Yes. So, but Henry, he crushes mm-hmm. being the Witcher, the Mr. Geralt. Now, part of it too is he's a fan of the series. Like, he's like, when he got the role, he was excited because he's like, yeah, dude, like, I play these games. I know what's going on.
And it makes a hell of a difference to actually hire or bring someone on who's actually seen or enjoys the source material.
But he just exudes it. Like, his reactions and how he acts it, you're like, yep, this is The Witcher. And the other thing that I know some of the critics kind of panned was the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And but I actually felt like the dialogue felt video game-ish. Because, you know, like, in video games, they're not giving you, it's not like a four-minute monologue, right?
Right.
It's like kind of back and forth, like two or three sentences back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And The Witcher, he would be very abrupt and just like, yeah. You know, it's he was not always the most morose person. And the way they did the dialogue, it felt to me like a conversation among an NPC and a player.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually really liked how they did the interaction between characters. To me, felt like I could almost like see it like in a video game, the way they were conversing. So I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed the series, and I know they've already renewed season 2.
And they've got 7
scripted. Yeah. It's like, yeah, 7 seasons scripted.
They're trying to do a Game of Thrones.
Only they actually have a plan for 7 seasons instead of being like, oh, we need source material. Oh, crap. Let's just make it up and shit the bed.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, another show that they've already penned for mm-hmm. is the producers of The Witcher have signed on to produce a live action of Final Fantasy XIV on Realm Reborn.
Really?
This happened like a day or two ago.
Interesting.
So, yeah, Final Fantasy XIV. Which has obviously now, you know, many years into the MMO, has a lot.
Is this going to be like a Warcraft movie again? Like, it's going to be this small itty bitty story where everyone who's against each other have to bond together so that they can do some other, they have to fight some other evil.
Well, the one thing they do in 14 is you are the hero of light, which means you are like the central protagonist. So, like, a lot of MMOs, right, you're just kind of like an auxiliary. Because, like, mm-hmm. even in the wars, you know, Warcraft, you still have the other major characters. You're just basically a pawn who can just randomly kill everyone, basically. Where
you are the unsung hero. You just don't know it. You're reluctant, but you have amnesia, so you don't remember your story. But you gain a group of friends who have nothing in common, yet something bonds you together as a team, and you kill this thing that ends up being the thing that's going to end the world, or maybe by killing it, you ended the world.
Or is it 14, you actually and are sequel. Like the central protagonist. And so they could take, I don't know, there's a lot of interest.
How stories. Does that work, though? If you are the central protagonist, what about me? If I'm playing the game, am I the central protagonist? Are you saying that we're both central protagonists? Oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah. yes. That's always bothered me about it. Just a little, not going to lie. But yeah, it's I don't know. I'd be interested to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, The Witcher, though, because the TV series actually follows the books, really.
The graphic novels.
More than the television show. I mean, more than the
video games.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm excited, but hopefully...
What, you're saying that there's not a card game built into the series?
Well, we haven't seen entire season of just playing Gwent.
Of course.
It may happen.
Of course.
Actually, it'll be the World Series of Gwent. It's never going to be an ESPN The Ocho.
The Ocho.
It's a tie-in. It's a new tie-in production.
I don't know. The way we're going with esports, it's probably going to be on the main mothership, ESPN or two.
I finally did play Gwent, though, because I actually picked up Witcher 3 for Christmas for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I finally played Gwent to see what all the madness is about.
I've played all the Witchers.
I've played a couple hours of Witcher 3. I'm enjoying it. I could not get into The Witcher 1. I just did not enjoy the gameplay.
Well, see, the problem for me, or it's not a problem, but one of the weird things that happened to me was I actually played the second one first and then went back to play the first one.
Mm.
And I was able to beat both of those. I think because I kind of knew where one was going to go to.
Sure.
So I was able to stick. I understand one was a little bit rougher around the edges. But that being said, it'd be interesting to see where they could take The Witcher.
Well, you know what everyone's excited about? Cyberpunk. What is it? 2077 or something?
2097? Something.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean.
Thing's huge.
They, what is it? CD Projekt Red Key? They have a history of awesomeness.
Indeed.
I mean, really.
Yes.
So, the question is, okay, so here's a question.
Is Keanu Reeves in it?
That would actually be kind of nuts if he was, to be honest.
I think he is.
No, he is the voice of the main character. Isn't he like the voice of one of the characters?
No, I think he's an NPC.
So, at one time,
mm-hmm.
Blizzard kind mm-hmm. of had the same cred of CD Projekt Red Key, right? They were, people respected their games, they liked them. And then they've kind of lost that goodwill. CD Projekt Red Key, are they going to be able to keep that same, like, oh my gosh, we're super excited, it's going to be awesome? Or are they going to go the path of Blizzard and potentially lose that?
One question. Are they going to pull an Activision-esque merger? Because if they do, then yes, they're going the route of Blizzard. If no, then they'll continue to do the way they've done things.
So I wonder how much like the Activisions and the EAs have tried to buy out CD Projekt Red Key by now.
Oh, I'm sure. I still am scratching my head over the fact that Blizzard signed on to Activision, because Activision, their entire philosophy of we're going to make you the same fucking game, we're just going to paint it different colors, doesn't really mesh with the way that Blizzard had been doing games forever. So as long as they stay,
independent.
Or they join forces with like-minded individuals and not capitalistic a-holes, then they'll continue to do the stuff that they're good at and not try to rush a project or get so far into second-guessing yourself that you break a game into three pieces, but then it's supposed to be the same online piece but different single player, but you have to add pieces in, but at the same time, what the hell is going on? And no.
Did all three of the StarCrafts ever even come out? I actually don't
know. Yes, they have.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I figured they had by now, because it's been a couple of years, but because of your exact point, though, because it became like three weird games, maybe kind of sort of not really.
That share a multiplayer experience.
I was just like, no.
Like, I understand. I understand that there was an interesting draw to like having a very sophisticated single player campaign for the Terrans and the Protoss and the Zerg. That was cool, but I would have rather had them, focus on like the overall multiplayer game, and then added those pieces in for the people who wanted them. I felt like.
Well, apparently that's what Overwatch 2 is it's going to be the PvE experience of Overwatch
mm-hmm.
that's still in the same world as Overwatch 1.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if you have Overwatch 1, it's the PvP, but you'll still share the same PvP world as everyone in Overwatch 2. Overwatch 2, people just get the PvE experience.
I might actually pick it up if it's PvE. I'm a PvE guy.
That's supposedly what for whatever I line, that's what's going on. Mm-hmm. Which to me is an intriguing idea, actually. I'm like, huh.
Well, I mean, it's one thing to build upon the universe that your game is set in. It's another thing to try to reinvent the wheel. And the way that you described it, it doesn't look like they're trying to reinvent the wheel. They're trying to immerse those who are interested into different piece of the universe.
Well, and they've done, so they have in-game PvE events, mm-hmm. where it's basically you just fighting, you know, obviously a bunch of scripted bots who come to you in a team, and they're pretty fun. And it's always been a question, like, man, why is this, like, more of an experience? And those have always been free to play. I mm-hmm. mean, Overwatch is one of those games where, other than skins, you know, you can buy loot boxes. All the actual content, it does come out on the release schedule.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something I'm interested in. And that's actually part of the reason why, probably. So when they come out with like the little PvE, little adventures, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Overwatch, they could have probably charged people for it, right? They could have mm-hmm. been like, oh, you have to unlock this PvE experience for $5, and people would have definitely bought it.
Of course.
But they didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's actually probably because of the fact they haven't charged for any of the additional content mm-hmm. that'll actually be looking at Overwatch 2. Whereas if they chart, because now in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, Overwatch 2, you buy it, you have it. You're not going to buy extra crap.
Right.
Unless you want skins, whichever, that's fine. Whereas if they had charged for, you know, each of the little events to be able to partake in this additional content, then I'd be like, nope, because it's going to be the same experience in Overwatch 2.
Mm-hmm.
But because they've kind of maybe built up a little of that goodwill again, I'm like, okay, I'm willing to give it a try.
We shall see. We shall see.
Now, that could obviously change at any time, because mm-hmm. when you have Activision as your overlords, who the hell knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. So, speaking of video games, I understand projects of passion, okay? So, like, let's say that you're just a huge Mega Man fan, and so you decide to make your own Mega Man movie, or your own Mega Man fanfic, or band, or...
graphic novel.
Graphic novel, or video game, or whatever.
Or bourbon.
Mega Man bourbon.
Just say. It'd be totally metal.
Interesting. Anyways, so... I know there's a lot of people out there who want to, you know, they want to kind of like create their own little experience within the universe that exists. And a lot of, you know, we've seen it time and time again where people have done like fan films.
Yes.
And there's been a lot of companies out there, of course, you know, shut that shit down simply because you don't own the IP, they do, and they don't want you to put like a bad mark on their IP. Now, of course, there are some IPs out there that probably could benefit from fans taking over those properties and making them better. Right off the top of my head, I would say that pretty sure that some fans could probably do a hell of a lot better with a Green Lantern movie than that company did. Anyways, so
I think that's an established fact of the actual universe.
Yeah. But anyways, so the reason why I bring it up is that there is a modder out there who basically was like reverse engineering some shit to allow for Red Dead Redemption to be played on the PC. Ooh. Now, of course, he got a cease and desist letter. Mm-hmm. And of course, his response was, well, I'm not actually making a new game. I'm just modifying this program so it could play.
Ooh.
And I understand when you modify something, that's, you're staying within the rule, the little box garden. You're not burrowing a hole through the wall.
But what is the wall? Does the wall really exist? Or is it a figment of our own construct of our...
Corporate America would say, yes, it exists. God damn it, it exists. And we could sue you if you touch that wall. No, I mean, I understand. Like,
Is not the Xbox One just a glorified PC?
Yes. I mean, all consoles are glorified PCs. They just have very strict parameters. It's like buying a Mac. You don't get to customize a lot of shit inside the Mac.
Well, legally, that's probably what it comes down to, is you don't own Red Dead Redemption 2. You are licensed to play it.
Yes, and of course, with the constant push towards
subscription
online always and subscription services, you're now it's now becoming a service instead of a product. You're no longer gaining the right to use this product. You're going to have the right to utilize the service when it's available.
Yep.
But I mean, I understand the guy's heart was maybe in the right place, but at the same time, he was going to charge for this version of the game, which is a no-no. You cannot do that.
Yeah, that kind of, Especially, I mean, I would imagine is Red Dead Redemption 1 on PC?
Mm-mm. That's it. That's the one they're talking about.
None of them are on PC, really.
No. There's a couple that are on the PC, but the first one, the Red Dead Redemption 1 was never actually released on the PC.
Huh.
Number two was, but not the original one.
Ah, gotcha.
So this guy was just like, well, that's unfair. I'm gonna code the shit out of this so that people can play it. But of course, in order for people to play it, you're just like, well, I've spent time on this. You better pay me for it, which is a no-no.
Yeah, once you start asking people to pay for it, that's going to definitely not happen.
Now, of course, you look at that type of situation, you see a lot of people who utilize like GoFundMe and Kickstarter and all those things to do like fan film projects.
Yep.
So technically, okay, so let's get a little bit legal here. So technically, the individuals who are kickstarting their project, they're not asking you to buy their product. They're asking you to finance their project. So you know how you have all these different levels. You have like any amount helps, and then it kind of goes down to like you'll have your name in the credits.
Yay!
So technically, I mean, what you see at a lot of conventions is that people who have created fan movies and stuff, they ask for donations to help them, hone their craft. But as a thank you, you may get a CD that perhaps has that fan film on it.
Yay!
That's kind of the workaround.
The under the table agreement.
Yes, the under the table agreement. But so, and I know that there's been quite a few lawsuits around Star Trek and fan films. However, when that came out, it was discovered that you cannot trademark or copyright a language. So anyone who wants to use Klingon can use Klingon.
If only I knew Klingon better.
I know.
We could do an entire show in Klingon and Elvish. What do you think?
I'd rather not.
Oh.
I'd rather do it in Dothraki.
Way to live hardcore. But do you have your sword?
No, I do not. But anyways, so I'm all for people trying to attempt to create their passion project, especially if, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I'm a huge Dungeons and Dragons type person. And so here's the thing. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's say that you're going Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Sure.
So you create your own campaign.
Yep.
Full of notes, pre-made characters. You make the little figurines and you sell it.
Okay.
Is Wizards of the Coast coming after me?
If they're Dungeons and Dragons figurines,
they are built for Dungeons and Dragons.
People will already do that.
I know. That's the thing, though. Like there are going to be some people out there, some people perhaps at Wizards of the Coast, they're going to be like, oh, you can't do that. You said Dungeons and Dragons, which is why when you watch a lot of the, there's a lot of like YouTube videos or web series around, like Pencil and Paper, and they say, oh, you're playing a Pencil and Paper RPG. They don't say Dungeons and Dragons.
I think it's also how you market it. So say you sold Dungeons and Dragons mm-hmm. figurines.
Mm-hmm.
Just those words make it sound like to me on the face, oh, it's from Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay, yeah.
Where if I see like figurines made to play with your Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
No, I would shy away from Dungeons and Dragons.
Well,
I would say figurines to enhance your Pencil and Paper adventures.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty clear at that point.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, I think, is how you verbalize it, too, and what your verbiage is and how you're trying to sell it. And I think it's also, it's one thing if it's figurines, right?
Right.
Because those are pretty generic
mm-hmm.
versus like say you created like a campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, oh, now I'm selling a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. That's probably getting a swift kick in the ass.
That's why you get really tricky. You say, I create a campaign for any D20 system.
Ooh. It just happens to say for Dungeons and Dragons in the subtext.
No, there's dungeons and there's these flying lizards called dragons mm. that happen to be in your adventure.
I like that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, yeah, with that, that's more of like a mod. That's a mod, really, because you're utilizing the system and you're building something within the rule set of that system. You're not, like, you're not creating a Dungeons and Dragons, like, virtual reality game.
Well, it's also how I do it. Like, if you think about, like, mods for, like, Skyrim,
yep.
for instance, right? Like, Bethesda's all fine with you just having your mods.
Yep.
You know, that's a huge thing.
Just don't sell them.
Yeah, but if you started to sell the mods,
mm-hmm.
that's a whole different ballgame.
Right.
And I think most people are pretty amenable towards that type of agreement, where if you kind of have a mod, especially when it's made to be modded,
mm-hmm.
then that's fine. But if you start trying to charge money, that just gives you a whole different level of like, nope, that's not going to happen. And we've also seen people don't like to buy mods.
Nope.
That just doesn't really go anywhere.
Yes. Well, guys, let's be honest. There are some very tricky asshole people out there who, if you buy a mod, there might be something attached to that mod that you don't know that they've weaseled in and they've stolen all your stuff on your computer.
Well, that's where, like, I've looked at modding games in the past,
mm-hmm.
and, like, a lot of them are like, oh, you have to install this additional tool to do stuff. I'm like, noping out of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, any mod that requires me to install some kind of additional tool, it's usually some kind of graphics package to make it look better.
And if that additional tool isn't automatically included on the initial install, then it ain't going on my computer.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good way to get everything stolen off your computer.
Yes.
So that's one thing I see on the mods, is all the additional stuff that you have to do. Which becomes like, no. And Steam makes it a little bit harder, too, with the way they do their installs.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Which makes it annoying as hell when you're trying to mass uninstall games via Steam. Or you're doing it through your control panel. Yeah. And it has to ping. It's got to go back into Steam every single time. And it's got to have an additional window pop up so you can install the damn game. So if you're trying to clear everything, it's not fun.
I have to do that whenever I install a game because, I mean, like, when I installed The Witcher, that's like a 50 meg or 50 gig game.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'm uninstalling 3 games now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why, like, all of the Ultra Confusion stuff's on a secondary hard drive. Because all the videos and audio and all that stuff just literally just...
Balloons very quickly. Mm-hmm.
So, back to the fan projects here. I had a question. Oh, so, one of the... I know there's probably people out there who want to have their story, their game, their movie, whatever, recognized and seen and maybe make a profit off it. Now, of course, the easiest way is to go the route of the wackadoodle crazy lady who wrote 50 Shades of Grey.
Mm.
And I say that, first of all, I've never read any of the books.
Disappointing.
But I do know what the origin of 50 Shades of Grey
Twilight
is. Exactly. It was a Twilight fanfic, and they literally just took out the vampires and the werewolves and put a little bit more submissive and dominating aspects.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, there it is. So, I mean, you go that route. I mean, you could go... I mean, let's be honest. There's a reason why a lot of video games out there are called Metroidvanias, because they're Metroid... and or Castlevania in the mechanics, the whole like experience, the maps, the type of like action you're gonna do. But yeah, when you put a slightly different look to it, you put cell shading on there, or you're going on to different planets.
Well, I mean, look at all the conventions we go to and all the t-shirts and paintings and drawings people sell.
See, now that's that's the most interesting thing, because you have fan art. I mean, you got fan out art, the art out the ass.
Oh yeah.
And yet you don't see, technically every single IP creator out there could go after you.
Yes.
They're not going to, because
part of it, I think, it's a market of scale. So like, yeah, at that scale, because you are true fans of that universe.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are, if you're buying Doctor Who shirt that I've under this, it's because I'm also partaking in that Doctor Who universe.
But speaking of which, I have not watched last night's episode, so no one say nothing.
And I think that's also part, though, of the scale of the economics is these sellers. So if you're selling like your wares, basically like just at conventions, that's one thing. But now if you have like a $50 million t-shirt company and now you're trying to sell it at Target, that's like, whoop, nope, that's not going to happen. So a large part of it is also what is your kind of scale of your shop?
Right.
And how much are you kind of selling before, you know, the great corporate overlords are, you've crossed that line of what we're going to allow you to basically do.
Right. If you're selling, I don't know, 100,000 shirts of like Zelda, then you're probably going to be on someone's radar. If you're selling a total of like 200 shirts a year of your interpretation of Zelda.
Especially if it's at conventions where it's just like, I have a booth that I'm selling you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Versus I'm, you know, out trying to advertise on the internet and Google AdWords and other stuff.
No, there's people there, that, but they also go to conventions.
Yeah.
The
one that always surprises me is the ones that like take a very, usually adult take on the IPs.
Yes.
That's the ones I'm kind of surprised that they're not a little bit more of the banhammer on.
Well, I think it's all about the distribution size again, because you have people who will sexualize anything. You know, something that could be as cute and cuddly as a Pokemon, and they can sexify that up.
Rule 34.
And so
if you don't know what it is, don't look.
Don't.
No.
But you know, you're not going to see the Pokemon company probably go after them unless they're, you know, mass producing this stuff where they're selling, you know, 50 million or 500,000.
I'd be impressed if they sold 50 million of them.
Yeah, I would be very impressed as well. But I'm just saying that, you know, as long as it's not on a large scale, it's, the thing is, if you're smart as a company owner, if someone is doing something for like passion and it's not, and it's really not, you know, eating into your bottom line. Like if you do a video and you mass, you know, you try to distribute across the internet and everyone's paying $25 for it, I understand. You're going to get pissed. But if someone's making a t-shirt that they have their own design for, which let me emphasize this. If you put your own spin on it, then by all means, sell it. Well, but if you're literally just taking a picture, like the sprite image of a character and slapping it on a t-shirt and charging someone $18, I'm going to punch you in the face.
And those are my favorite like artworks at the conventions are ones that take the unique look on it and give it that kind of spin. Like those are the ones I enjoy seeing anyways.
Well, there is a gentleman, an artist that goes by, I believe, Imagination. I've got a couple of his t-shirts, but he basically, he does his own, his own interpretation of a lot of things. The one of the shirts that I love to wear is instead of Enter the Dragon,
yeah,
it's Enter the Fooey, and it's got Hong Kong Fooey, nice, as the centerpiece instead of
Bruce Lee
in the middle. That is good.
It's
I mean,
creative interpretation.
Yeah, and I've also got a t-shirt that's like, you know, that epic pose of Luke holding the lightsaber up and Leia basically on yeah, his leg. There's I've got a t-shirt that's got Link in the same position with Zelda holding onto leg. That's a, you know, that's a good use of that. But if it's literally like I did the Spider-Man symbol,
yeah,
then I'd be like, no.
So speaking of, have you seen Rise of the Skywalker? Do you plan on seeing Rise of the Skywalker?
Okay, so I'm two behind.
Oh,
yep. I own the second one. I just haven't watched it. It's just like I own John Wick 2 and 3, but I haven't watched either of those two. I own John Wick 1, and I watched it, and I cried like a little baby at the beginning of the movie, and I was totally in agreement with everything that John did during that movie, because you just don't do that.
They deserved it.
Yes, they did.
Sunrise of the Skywalker, it was good.
I'm sure when I get around to it, I'll see it.
It was fine.
Yeah, to be honest with you, the vast majority of my time when it comes to watching something has been basically anime or TV shows. Now, yeah, it's kind of funny. I'm watching either anime or like international subtitled TV shows, which, of course, the vast majority of the international subtitled videos that I watch are on Netflix, and they're usually like got a like crime-solving thriller type of element to it. And the vast majority of the world outside of the U.S. aren't a bunch of fucking prudes. So none of those shows can I watch at work because there are pieces of the human body that us Americans think it's so bad to show off.
I would recommend not watching The Witcher at work either, then.
No, it'd be like watching Game of Thrones at work.
I'm sure.
Or True Blood. That'd be a terrible show to watch at work. But anyway, so like there's a bunch of, so I haven't really been able to watch a lot of movies per se, unless it's, you know, in like the kids' wheelhouse, because that's literally like we watch a movie.
He's old enough to watch John Wick. It's a lesson on
humanity. He's not. Oh dear God!
And how to take control of your life, man.
Dude, I was sweating bullets. I was watching an anime today that was like, it wasn't mature. I mean, it was definitely like a teen like level anime, but it still made me a little bit nervous while my 7-year-old was half giggling at some of the stuff. I was like, yeah, I don't know if you should be listening to this.
Just don't tell mom.
Yeah, please don't tell mom. Yeah,
just our little secret today.
No, but I mean, to be honest with you, I'm interested in seeing this part of Star Wars, and I definitely went to see The Force Awakens in theater, but then I don't know, like, I want to see stuff, but at the same time, I don't have, it's not like top on my list.
No, I mean, and that's, really at this point, I'm really watching the Star Wars movies that come out, really because they have the title of Star Wars. Like, they're not, it was a fun movie to watch, mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but it's not like the greatest thing since sliced bread or anything like that.
No, not my bread!
I mean, I like my bread with bacon and butter, but it's just like, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if somebody have other stuff they wanted to watch or see, I'd be like, yeah, go for it.
No, and I think that's where I land right now because, you know, like I said, the vast majority of time I'm going to be watching a movie, it's going to be with my kids.
Sure.
And there's a ton of movies out there that are good for kids, and there's also some tons of movies out there that are supposed to be for kids that are just absolute trash.
Isn't that life?
Yes, it is. So I get to watch a lot of Angry Birds, Angry Birds 2, Trolls, Big Hero 6.
How to Train Your Dragon?
How to Train Your Dragon 1, 2, and 3. Kung Fu Panda 1, 2, and 3.
What about The Land Before Time?
Yes. Mm. I don't understand. Like, there was an article today, or maybe it was yesterday, about like Don Bluth movies, and they were like, these things wreck your childhood. Like, Land Before Time. Well, basically, it's troubling to a young child. The Secret of Nim, another one troubling to young children.
You're saying just because it's, like, animated and has cartoons doesn't mean it's good for kids?
Yeah. Let me list a couple of animes that are cartoons that if children were to watch it, they would literally be scarred for life.
You could traumatize. Get them started early. Be like, kid, you're going to be traumatized for the rest of your life, so you might as well learn what it's like right now.
There's an anime out there, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm sure that the individuals who are going to be listening to this are probably in a little bit more of the mature audience. Or maybe some children, I don't know.
Age is not maturity, sir.
Age, exactly. Age is but a number. But anyways, there's an anime out there called Apocalypse Zero. If you're into some weird-ass shit, go see it. If you do feel that it's a little bit weird for people to use their genitalia as weapons, don't see it. Enough said. The funny thing is, the main character does not do any of that. He has this awesome, like, armor suit that he wears. It's just all the bad guys utilize their thunderball attack.
Oh.
And their other body parts.
Sounds like the directors are trying to compensate.
It sounds like the directors were smoking something crazy while they're trying to come up with something.
I've seen a few of those animes, and there's times where it's like, what the hell is going on here?
Cat Soup. It's like Hello Kitten on acid.
Improve it. Make it better.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or does it?
Hmm. Mm. Zillis, you been playing any games?
Lately, The Witcher 3. I started playing The Witcher 3. So far, I'm enjoying it. I forgot how hard The Witcher games actually are.
They are hard.
Like, you just can't go and be like, oh, I'm going to slash you. No, I'm dead. Like, you actually have to, like, block and, like, dodge and do the roll around thing.
What strategy?
I know. It's, like, crazy talk.
No, not strategy.
Yeah, so I started playing The Witcher 3. So far, it's an enjoyable game. I know the meme on like all Witcher games is always like, how long are you going to chase Ciri around until you find her? Because it's just what.
Oh, happening. I found her.
You realize she's like 8 in the game I'm playing.
Yes.
Yes.
I found her though.
Okay then. So it's so far I'm enjoying it. So we'll see where it goes from there. Charlie got me on my cell phone into a game called Cells.
Yes.
Another clicker game where you have to evolutionize your cells.
Basically, you start with a dead planet and you basically gain cells that are currency, and then you can like upgrade life, like add sky and atmosphere and
the
moon.
They become eukaryote, then a prokaryote, then you can have mitosis and then meiosis, and then eventually get like the actual like organisms.
Yes.
Like jellyfish.
And sponges. And
apes and...
What was the worms?
I don't remember that.
I don't know. There's lizards and bunny rabbits. And
they
apes.
They called the lizards like pterodactyls or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see any dinosaurs, damn it.
Maybe they are still to come.
I don't know. But it is kind of interesting because you could kind of, you know, it's an idle game, so, or a clicker game, whatever the hell you want to call it. So like, if you take some time away, it'll give, you know, it'll keep accumulating all those points for you. And of course, there's some real fun things. If they've built in the ad part, I think, really well in the game. If you want to speed things up, like if you want to gain there's these little yellow things that you click on, and it basically gives you like a burst of those cells if you watch one video.
Yeah.
Or you could click, there's like a green arrow thing on the side that basically speeds up the amount that you're pulling in for the next like 2 or 3 hours.
4 hours.
4 hours. You can do it that way.
When you come back, you can double your income from sitting idle by watching a video. So it's all optional ways to support the game and increase your gameplay.
And watch the same fucking ad over and over and over again.
Yes.
It's the battleship one for me. I'm just like, okay, I get it. You want to build ship, blow up other people. I got it.
Waiting for the 30-second timer to go away so you can exactly. Climax.
You know, the funny thing is, there's been a couple times where the timer has started at 5, and I'm just like, hallelujah!
Yes! Hack mode engaged.
Yeah. But I really don't know how the hell I got into Cells, to be honest with you.
So what is your new game of the year, sir?
My new game of the year.
Or game of the year for the Switch that you've been playing lately.
So I just picked up a couple games for the Switch, and to be totally honest with you, I cannot remember them off the top of my head because I've been taking a little bit of a break. For those of you out there who are not patrons of Ultra Confusion, change that shit! Because then you'll have access to a letter that I explained everything that's been happening this past year. And I'm not going to tell you nothing until you pay, bitch. Now, if you probably ask me offline, I'll probably explain it. But anyways, I really haven't been playing a lot of games. What I have been doing is reading a shit ton of graphic novels. And the one that's really been revolutionary to me, and I didn't know I was... Like, when I started reading the series, I was like, I don't know. But it's called Transmetropolitan. Transmetropolitan, which was written by Warren Ellis. Warren Ellis is like The Watchmen and a bunch of other stuff. It's about a reporter named Spider Jerusalem, and he basically comes back into this weird, crazy-ass world, and he becomes a reporter again. And like that does not sound all that exciting, but I'm going to be totally honest with you. Once I got through the first volume, and I think there's 7 of them in total, I was hooked. And
so
I had
to. Who is a reporter?
He tells the truth. Okay. I mean, he will do anything and everything to get the truth. He'll basically, you know, tap dance on the line. He also, in order to keep him in peak condition, I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not a straight-laced guy. I mean, he does a shit ton of drugs to try to keep his adrenaline up and to try to keep his mind bubbles going. But the really interesting thing about this series was that, you know, when you read books, any type of book or any collection, they have, you know, you usually have like a foreword, someone who's written, you know, the opening for the book or whatever. One of the the forward letters for one of the volumes of Transmetropolitan was written by the one and only Patrick Stewart.
Ah.
Mr. Picard. And the way, and you, when you read what he put in there, you're like, holy shit, he really is like 100% an absolute fan, fanatic, nerd of Transmetropolitan.
That's cool.
Because the way that he wrote it, he's like, I can't say that this character is my hero, because he's not. And if I were to say that, he would probably find me, write something about how I don't know the hell I'm talking about, because that's the kind of like character the guy was.
Yeah.
He's like, he tells it how it is. He's not going to sugarcoat it for you. He's going to piss off a lot of people. A lot of people. But like his way of, you know, going through life and trying to navigate all the craziness that is society, it works perfect in today's society. And so like literally, I, you know, if there was, if you're looking for something that's non-traditional, it's not, you know, it's not going to be action packed. Yes, there's going to be some shooting. There's going to be some fighting, but the vast majority of it is this guy trying to get the story to, you know, uncover the truth. And I have to say that I 100% recommend it to anyone and everyone. I also watched an anime called Made in the Abyss. There's only one season, and I got really pissed off because like the one season came out in 2017. I'm like, oh man, there's going to be a second season somewhere because this is good, because I got hooked. And they're like, yeah, so we made a couple like follow-up movies, and but they really don't like add to the story.
Ooh.
But we're thinking about doing a season two movie. Not really a season, just a movie. I'm like, you son of a bitch, what the? You had such a good, did like the characters and the story. I'm just like, motherfucker.
What is about an anime and their weird way of doing season slash movie slash half season slash weird time warp slash who knows what the hell's ever going on with some animes? I'm looking at you, Berserk.
Now, of course, you know, the original Berserk, they came back and did a bunch of OVAs or, you know, sections. They did like, it was like a three-parter to kind of like wrap everything up. And then there was this, once upon a time, there was, I think MTV was actually going to do like the Dark Swordsman or something. It was going to be basically the same thing, but it was going to be, of course, completely on Guts. You know.
So did Berserk, the anime, actually ever finish its storyline?
The original one?
Yeah.
No, it ended at 26, which was, here's the first episode, and then it goes back in time.
Yep, I remember that, yeah.
This is 26.
And then...
Here's the first episode.
Yep.
Here's 26.
Never made it to the end.
Artistic ending, my ass!
No, it just didn't finish.
Yep.
Yeah. I do recall that. So that's what I was curious if they ever finished that. No. That's disappointing. No. Not even the OVA movies finished that? Or is
no, it- I to be honest with you, I didn't actually watch the OVA. I own all three of them, but I haven't watched it yet.
How many like animes do you own that you have not actually watched?
Animes that I've owned that I have not watched.
Or disc.
Okay, so...
We've already found like six in the last hour.
Yeah, so I haven't watched Boondock Saints 2. I have not watched the last two John Wicks. I haven't watched the second Star Wars. I've got about three Studio Ghibli movies that have not been unwrapped. I've got the whole Berserk ones that have not been unwrapped.
Buy a lot of Funko Pops with that money. Just go return them back to Amazon and buy some Funko Pops.
Fun story. No.
Good story. You can sell them on eBay.
Nah, I'll keep them. Sorry, my phone is going off underneath the table. It's my little sister. She's in town, so she's trying to talk to me, even though she knows I'm supposed to be doing a show.
Shouldn't she be like on the show with us?
She should, but she was out with family having dinner. So, anywho, so
who does family with dinner for the holidays, sir?
I don't know, but anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've basically wrapped it up. I mean, Zilly's got anything you want to add?
When are you going to watch The Witcher so I can talk about it?
Soon.
Okay, fair enough.
But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, you may have noticed a couple of different things. One, Actually, one big thing is that there's no ticker at the bottom of the screen. And the reason for that is that we're going to try something different tonight. So if you're interested in finding out any information about our Patreon, our Instagram, our Facebook, our Twitter,
our YouTube, our
Twitch,
our website.
The website's not actually on there.
It was never on there?
No, it's not on there anymore.
Oh.
Anyways, do what Zelius always tells you to do. Just Google Altered Confusion.
Google the Altered Confusion, and we are the first hit.
Indeed. And of course, I need to add the mailing address back into the thing. But in case you want to mail something to us, all you got to do is go to your local postage office.
You don't have it memorized yet?
No. And all you got to do is go to 1551
Dunwoody Village Parkway, number 88276, Dunwoody, Georgia, 30338. Now, as Charlie always likes to point out, here's the key.
You have to put the number 88276 in the address.
What happens if you do not include the most important number of the entire address, sir?
Then it gets sent to the post office, and it doesn't know where to go, and so it'll sit there for 2 to 3 business days and then be resent back to you. Or returned to you.
Be very sad.
And we would be very, very sad. Now, of course, I did finally check our box recently, and unfortunately, we did not have any gifts. But we did have was a bunch of weird-ass like catalogs for like industrial disposal. Like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, it's... I threw it away, but it was really funny. Like, you're flipping through, it's got like all those, you know, the ribbons that's like caution, danger, nice. Electric, and it's got like all these different, like, you know, waste bins. I'm like, who the hell do you think I am? I've got dead bodies in the basement.
Well, it's funny what you get. So I bought some Skechers at the store, but I didn't have the actual size that fits into my house because I have a midget 5-size foot.
Yes, he does.
And, well, part of it is, I don't know if you ever noticed, when you look in the display, it's always the smallest size that they have in stock is the one on display.
Not always, but yes.
Like 90% of the time. It's supposed to be, at least.
When you are in the Bigfoot category, that's not always the case.
Well, the problem is so since most of the time, at least, mine's the one on display. It might fit, but it means that the shoe is also mangled because that's what people have been like tossing around, especially when it's leather. It's all like, okay, I need to ship to my house, right? Like, okay, that's fine. So I get to my house, and it's a big box, and like Skechers, because they send like a bag and like a pin, and, like all this other crap with it. Where I'm like, thanks.
It's called swag.
I got free swag, I guess, because I
swag
got it sent to my house for the same price as buying at the store. That was weird.
They now have your home address.
Yeah, which means
they'll come knock on your door in the middle of the night.
I'll get catalogs and they'll try to sell me in the goodness of Skechers shoes.
Indeed. Well, anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into the Altered Confusion Thursday night hangout from myself, Charlie, and Zeely. It's been a pleasure giving you everything coming out of our heads, our mouths, and of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday for another Altered Confusion Thursday night hangout.
Remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.